this topic of this month has been about women and the times of Mashiach. And so, in honor of the, I believe it's the 36th anniversary of the yard site of Rebbe Sinchaya Mushka. So that's two times Chai, two times 18. So her memory should continue to be a bracha on all of us.
Amen.
And we'll have a wonderful stories about her. But I came across, I'll share one and the lessons that we can learn from it. But I wanted to start with one of the quotes that we learned was that in the Gemara Tractate Sota, it says that it was in the merit of the righteous women of the generation that the Jewish people were redeemed from Egypt. And in the Yalkut Shimoni, that no generation is redeemed save for the righteous women of that generation. In addition to the women, we know that we can learn a lot from women and the energetic aspect or the feminine aspect. Us as men are also called to embrace and to practice, which can elicit and bring forth geula, a redemption in our own personal life. Some of the things that we learn about what is this aspect of the women that brings the redemption, we also learned just in this last week's Parsha in Beshalach that Miriam, leading the women, brought timbrels and they started dancing while they were crossing the river, or also afterwards. And Rashi comments that they brought the instruments because they knew ahead of time that they would be redeemed. They didn't have to wait for a certain sign. They had a great trust that that the Jewish people were redeemed. So it led them to start dancing and celebrating before the actual occurrence of the miracle that led them to redemption. And we've discussed in previous Mashiach shirs that I've gave, like the idea of Mashiach coming, Behesach Hadas, that he comes when our attention is diverted. That it means that when we're able to live in a state of redemption now, and we celebrate and live as if it's already happened, we can also think about like something that's redemptive has the aspects of not just intellectually, which would be the man aspect of what does it look like, what's the halacha of Mashiach times of redemption, but also the emotional aspect, the feminine side of it that comes with it, the peace, the harmony, the love. One idea connected to Mashiach times in the aspect of the feminine, that in the merit of the woman that we are redeemed, is that in the Pasuk Aliyahu, every Erev Shabbos we read, it says that no thought can grasp Hashem. No thought can grasp you. However, we learned in one of the Friedrich Rebbe's Maimarim, talking about the concept of Das, which is like knowing something, and Emunah, which is having faith. And he brings that sentence that no thought can grasp you. It means you can't think about, you can't come to a place that really grasps. When you grasp something, it means like you can really understand it. Like if I grasp a table, you have its sides. Or when you grasp a concept, you have it fully, you can see it fully. But when it comes to Hashem, it's impossible to completely know the Creator via thought. So it says, it's specific in the language that it says, no thought can grasp you. But the Friedrich Rebbe adds in one of the Mimer, no thought can grasp you. But from the depths of my heart, it can grasp you. So how do we get to the state that we're in touch with Hashem beyond thoughts, and we're able to bring out these emotions of freedom and peace and love and feeling as if it's already accomplished now? We have to be able to align with Hashem, because Hashem is beyond space and time. He's beyond thought. He's beyond, you know, when you have thoughts of there's somewhere to go, or you have time, you have to transcend it, because Hashem is ultimately beyond the time. He's not in the past, not in the future. He's all of the above. But to really align with Him in a very visceral way, is to get very present. How do we get very present? Is to transcend the thoughts that are constantly thinking about something in the future or something in the past. And that's how we can really have that experience, is in that moment. No thought can grasp you, but from the depths of my heart, depths of the heart is that yearning, that stillness and the love and really just presence. How do we get there? Through meditation. It takes practice of being able to get present and recognize that not somewhere to go, or that anything that happened earlier on or in the past, it's in the past, it's over and done with. And when you really want to practice on being into the present moment, involved in with whatever you're doing, you have to not give your attention to those thoughts that are trying to take you out of the present moment. Whether you're practicing meditation or learning something or anything that you're involved in, it's very connected with how in the merit of the women that we were redeemed, because in that moment when you have, that's how you cultivate, or you can build the muscle of really real emunah and bitachon, of trust and faith that you are being redeemed, and you have that clear knowingness, then it's not a matter of how or when something is going to happen. When, such as with the Miriam and the women, they didn't necessarily know how. They didn't know how the sea was going to be split. And they didn't know when it was going to happen. But they knew what, which is the Jewish people are going to be redeemed from Egypt. And they knew that it was going to be full of this great symbol. So too, we can practice that aspect, feminine aspect of being in that ease and fluidity in our life by getting present. And one of the tasks I would encourage you to think about is, let's say a lot of us have many manly characteristics, you could say, which is dominant. Because we have about 60 to 70,000 thoughts a day, and 90% of them are the same. In order to add more ease and flexibility and fluidity in our life, is to recognize where in my life to bring that, have that awareness, that consciousness of what you may unconsciously be doing. Where in my life may I be exercising more of the manly aspect of the rigidity, let's say, when something, I'm about to share a story we can learn from the Rebbe Tzinchaya Mishka, but let's say when something unexpected or sudden comes up, the manly aspect, at least I'll speak for myself, is to try and control the outcome. What can I do to fix or to make things back to, you know, the nice structured, organized system that I have for myself? But the feminine aspect of that feminine energy is to, how do I go with the flow, and try and have the whole time, despite the any challenges that come up, know that I'm already in a state of being redeemed. It's just a matter of being in a vessel and allowing that to happen. So any occurrence that comes up, it's all from Hashem, and I'm able to just, you know, be like water and to flow with it. So there's a story I heard in honor of the Rebbe Tzinchaya Mishka. It was shared from her assistant, Chesed Helberstein, I believe. He would drive her around, he would do different chores, and so it would often that he would drive her to the park, and he would bring his son, the Rebbe, and the Rebbe didn't have any of their own children, but he would take his young boy, and the Rebbetzin, so I heard, would, you know, push them on a swing and play with them at the park. And one of the days that they were on their route, was construction, their normal way, the usual way of going, that caused them to make a detour. And so they made a detour, and all of a sudden they saw this Russian woman screaming and in tears as people were taking couches and different furniture from her house. So the Rebbetzin asked the driver to turn around and to stop so he could see what's going on. And she went out and spoke to the marshal, the officers, and she found out that they were evicting her because she wasn't able to pay rent. And the Rebbetzin talked to the marshal and said, if somebody were able to give, pay the rent, would you guys stop and put the stuff back? And he said, yeah. And she asked, how much was the rent? And he told her $7,000. And she went back to the Chesed Halberstein, and she wrote a check and gave it to the officer. And all, you know, was well. She told the officer not to tell this woman or the family anything that happened. She got back in the car and drove. And they went to the park that they usually go to. And the Chesed came to her and asked, I don't understand, how could you give such a large amount of money to some stranger like that? And she shared that in her father's memory, her father taught her that whenever something, and when you have your usual way of doing something, and something comes up and changes the direction, so to speak, Hashem leads you a different way, it's for an ultimate purpose. And so she remembered that what she learned from her father, which was, as we all know, was the Friedrich Rebbe, the Rebbe before our Rebbe, that is a sign for you to fulfill. So she learned that when she was a kid, and she took that message to go and help out this woman. And to me, that really embodies not just Hashkacha Pratis, divine providence, that everything in our life is there to teach us, but it's so easy in those moments that when we have our way to the park, so to speak, when we're constantly doing something and it's pretty frequent and usual that this is the way that we go to get there. When something comes up and quote-unquote interrupts it, it's so seemingly common or normal to get frustrated, to, you know, wow, this is going to cut off my time to do this, and it's going to interrupt then what I'm going to be able to do there, and I'm going to have to sacrifice something. But we can learn, as she had, that she really internalized the message from her father, that, no, this is all from Hashem. How do I go with the flow? And it's that, and be with it. And that's ease, that flow, that I'm, yes, I have the direction of where I want to go. And I, you know, similar to with Miriam and all of us as Jews, as we were being led to Geula, led to redemption. But when we're able to live that it's all already here now, then it's a ride. There may be obstacles or challenges that need our attention, and we actually have to address them and solve them, but it's done from a place of, it's already solved. It's done from a place of Rebbetzin Chaya Mushka pulling out her checkbook and doing it because it was there for her to solve, so to speak, or to answer, to help this fellow individual. Personally happened this earlier this past week that I think even in something that's holy, let's say keeping Seder. I had an experience earlier this week that I'm known to, or at least thinking about myself, very rigid sometimes, and like, oh, I have to make it to this and on this specific time. It's so easy to like I'm going to make it to this time and I'm due here, and you can kind of be rigid about it. But even with holy things, and we all know the importance of Seder, the way of which we do something is also matters. It's not just the what, but the how. When I was able to recognize that, wow, I had this kind of like anxiousness and over-discipline, I was able to take a step back, rest a little bit more, and recognize that it's not just how I'm just making it to Seder, but how I'm showing up. You know, like we learned about in the story of the Pardis, High Orchard, spiritual realms that Rabbi Akiva and the other rabbis ascended to, but only Rabbi Akiva was able to make it to, or make it there and back. It says that he was entered in peace and left in peace. And a lot comment that it was because he entered in peace, meaning with the right intentions and the right attitude, that he was able to come out and turn to the world, into this physical world. The Rebbe would often encourage people, even if they're not able to make it to the Ohel or to the Rebbe's office, you can put yourself in a present state and envision and experience applying all that we were talking about, that when you're really present, then when you can bring up and visualize something, it's as if you're there now. So we'll do a nice guided meditation. Entering into the Rebbe's office and, you know, imagining having a yechidus with the Rebbe. Okay. Everybody get a nice comfortable position, feet on the ground. Nice. Hands on their legs. Back against the chair. Comfortable, but a little alert, not where you might fall asleep. We're going to take a few minutes just to get present for our guided visualization. Focusing on a few breaths in through your nose and out through your nose or maybe through your mouth. In through your nose and out through your mouth. And one more deep breath in through your nose. Out through your mouth. We're just going to rest our attention on the top of our head. We'll do a nice brief scan just to get present. Focusing our attention on the top of our head and lightly scanning down forehead, our temples, down the eyes. Remembering to keep a nice deep breath in and inhaling and exhaling. As you make your way down to the neck. Just letting go of anything you might be carrying all the rest of the day. Into the shoulders. Down your waist and your legs. It's okay, it's all aligned with exactly what we're talking about today. Bringing out the ability to go with the flow, and despite different sounds or things that come up, we can look at them as distractions, or we can see them as actually things that enhance our focus. So you make your way onto your feet. I encourage you now to make your way back up on your own pace. I'll reach your different parts. Remembering if your attention wanders, if you have different thoughts, just bring it back to the place in your body that you were left off. Just lightly notice your attention and bring it right back. You might find your back of the torso. and tracing up the arms. To the back to the top of your shoulders. Up the neck. On top of the head. I want you to lightly keep, when you get there, rise a little bit above your head, about 6 inches. And with a deep breath, bring to mind that it's a new day and you're going to have a yichidus with the Rebbe. You're walking in after much preparation the whole morning or whenever it was. You're walking up the steps, 770. Perhaps noticing the different sounds, hearing and the sights. You walk up to the front door. You walk in. You come into the hallway entrance. You have the attendant letting you know when you're able to go in. You can feel the nervousness, the excitement, the yira, the awe. As you lightly knock on the door, you enter into the Rebbe's office. And he's there waiting at the desk. Maybe you have something you wrote. Maybe you have something you want to give him. He invites you to come sit down, share with him what's going on. As you calmly come closer, I want you to play with the rest of this imagery, noticing maybe what's on his desk, what does the Rebbe look like, what is he sharing that specific and personal to you. Remember, as we practiced, don't try and think about it or try and think what you want him to say or what you want to happen. But by being present, allow what he wants to say, allow what needs to come to appear to be that message for you. Maybe he gives you something. And now as you say your thanks and you walk backwards out of the door, feeling like you received the exact message that you needed to hear, and you thank the Rebbe and you exit the room, take a few deep breaths. I want you to bring your attention lightly back to the sight, the sounds you might be hearing, sound of my voice, feeling your bottom on the chair, and your feet on the ground. Taking a few last few breaths. Wiggling your toes, wiggling your fingers. In your own time, you can open your eyes.